Jerry, how are you this morning?
Great, Tony. That's a horrible weather report you're giving us.
Well, yeah, I'm looking for you to make some changes there, Jerry. You got the power.
All right. We'll warm things up a bit.
Hey, I wanted to get your take on a few issues. I thought it was pretty interesting that high school students were able to organize a protest at the state capitol, and they did so without much help, not only from the union, but from the district itself. What's your take on that?
Well, I think what you and I know, Tony, and you got two boys of your own, that often the children will lead, and our high school students have been paying attention to what's going on in the legislature, what the future of their school district and the schools in Michigan are facing. And they organized over a period of a week, communicated with one another through texting and Twittering, and actually even ran an ad in the newspaper, I understand, to get everybody on the same page. And the media did an excellent job at capturing the very orderly and organized fashion in which they went down to the Capitol and spent about 5 hours demonstrating to the public and to the legislature that they care deeply about their schools, and cutting it to the bone is not an acceptable option.
Now, wait a minute. Are you giving the media props?
It's not every day that I do that, Tony, but I had a chance to stop down there, and, you know, as a former teacher at Eastern, and there was a significant contingency of Eastern students there, I wanted to go down and give them an attagirl, attaboy, let their voices be heard. It is the process of our democracy, and they did a great job. They did a great job with the press. They did a great job with the legislators who came and went. And it was truly a picture of America, with the blend of students across the array of the steps and up to the Capitol, and the sidewalk was full. It was really a great demonstration.
So these kids were able to do this all on their own without any help from the LSEA.
It was no help, certainly no help from the LSEA, but I think the manner in which they went about it, they communicated with their principals, they communicated with their teachers. Many of them had notes from home authorizing them to leave for this public demonstration. And, you know, the concern that was raised about disciplining these students, I'm very hopeful and confident that our school district will behave prudently in regards to this. And I sent a communication out to the teachers on Sunday that this is something to be honored, not disciplined. The fact that these students knowingly were going to have to make up the work, knowingly were going to have to correct and make up the deficit of their assignments, took this on in addition to. If anything, this was an extra credit activity that was spontaneously experienced by our public schools. But on Thursday, they were put on notice by the student leaders that this would be occurring. And here's another prop to the Lansing Police Department, because they provided escorts at the crossing streets for the students as they moved en masse from the high schools to the Capitol. Absolutely wonderful demonstration of protect and serve by our Lansing Police Department. And the folks at the Capitol were excellent. The grounds supervisors, the state police, were all super engaged with the kids, very positive. And it was just one of those things. I was proud to be a Lansing School District teacher.
Well, the Lansing School District may not feel the same way as they are considering disciplinary action. It seems like that wouldn't be a very good thing to do, since the students were organized and they're going to make up the work, and their parents knew, or in most cases. So you wonder why the district is reacting this way.
Absolutely confident that the district will do the right thing. I have no way, and I spoke with Deputy Superintendent Jim Davis on Friday morning. I let him know that I was at the Capitol. The kids were wonderfully behaved. I had a chance to talk to a handful of students who were there, and Jim assured me the district would move with prudence. They didn't want to blow this out of proportion. At the same time, there is a consequence for civil disobedience. And one of those consequences is you got to make up your work. And the students who I had the chance to speak with, which were many, all fully understood that consequence of their action, that they had contacted their teachers ahead of time. Their teachers were aware this was going on, and they were aware they would have to make up the work.
Well, Jerry Swartz is the president of the LSEA, the Teachers Union for the Lansing School District, teachers and staff and support staff. Jerry, the MEA's president, Iris Salters, recently sent out a job action letter to its members. Many people are saying that they see this as the trying to get the permission for the MEA to do whatever needs to be done, including striking, to get the attention of the governor when it comes to cuts regarding teachers, regarding pensions, regarding funding for schools. What's your take on that?
Well, as you and I both know, Tony, as people struggling to maintain our footing in the middle class, there is definitely an attack taking place across our country on the middle class from those who are more fortunate. And quite frankly, they're more fortunate because of the work of the middle class. So as that assault ramps up and we are deep in battle with that, I think you're going to see middle class groups, the union certainly, but the citizenry at large is going to come together. You know, to take a look at the retiree, that the single largest group of our strata of population, the attack on the middle class and the retirees and the poor in order to provide benefits to the corporate and business world or reduce the tax base is disjunct. There's an excellent article in the City Pulse that looks at this from an economist's point of view. We've cut since the 90s. We've cut and cut and cut. Now the service sector, we wonder why the roads are in disrepair. We wonder why we have a growing lower class in our society. It's math. It's basic mathematics.
So
kids on the Capitol steps could do the math for us.
So are you saying we perhaps need tax cuts and that the rich need to pay more for these deficits?
That there needs to be a shift in the manner in which we apply our taxes. We do need a greater tax base in order to provide the services that we're accustomed to in Michigan. So we have to redesign the manner in which we do it, and it cannot be shifting it off the corporate world and putting it on the populace that is in the lower segment of our society. It's not going to be doable. You're going to have pushback, Tony. The pushback that you're seeing is the beginning of that pushback, scrambling to try and survive.
What's the alternative? If you were the governor, what would you do?
Well, I don't pretend to have that perspective, but what I would do is look at how do we level the playing field, the $1.3 billion tax relief to the business sector in eliminating the business tax and reapplying that by cuts in the public school sector, the higher ed sector, and then taxing pensions is not an equitable shift. When you look at the tax cuts that have been levied, quite frankly, since John Engler came in 1990, and you look at the continued tax cuts through the Granholm administration, there has been tremendous relief. If cutting taxes was the answer, we'd have a booming economy in Michigan. That doesn't seem to be the case. So to continue down that same course without checking the math is illogical.
Jerry Swartz is the president of the LSEA. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Jerry, just want to get your opinion on this. T.C. Wallace and the Lansing School District School Board are having some closed-door meetings about the power that T.C. Wallace has to hire and fire administrators. What's your take on that?
Well, as you just stated, there have been some closed-door meetings, and I certainly am not privileged to know what took place behind the closed door. I know there were some discussions around negotiations as well as discussions around what is the power structure for the superintendent in contrast to the board. What I can tell you on that from the association's perspective, we are going to continue to work together with our superintendent, with our school board, to balance the district's financial stressors. We have tremendous stress in our finances right now, and not the least of which is the tremendous cuts that are being applied to urban systems across the state. The per pupil cut for Lansing School District is in excess of $800 per student, not $470, which is being promoted in the media. And I'll be in touch today with the media, Channel 10. We're interviewing specific to how do you get above $800 per pupil cut based on the governor's plan. It doesn't appear. Well, when you start to pull back the cut, you begin to see the dirty detail. And the children who are most impoverished across this state are most dramatically impacted with these cuts. And they're not being talked about in the media. Except for people like you, Tony, who bring people like me on the air.
Well, Jerry, I know you don't have a lot of time, but enlighten us just a little bit with how these numbers differ so much.
Sure. There's been an increased obligation for school districts to pick up on the pension costs that the state has shifted back on to the school district, a 4.5% increase in the pension obligation. For a district like Lansing School District, that's $4.5 million. Now, that's money that was not obligated this year or last year that will be newly obligated next year by a shift on the pension obligation from the state to the local. Now, it's got to be paid from somewhere. So if you take it from Peter to give it to Paul, it's still been taken. So in this case, they aren't taking it out of the per pupil cut. They're giving the money and saying, now you got to pay back $4.5 million. And saying, but we didn't cut you. Well, $4.5 million does equate to a per pupil reduction. We additionally have, as you're aware, and working with some of our most fragile back when you were in the schools, we have an at-risk population that brings at-risk funding. Our all-day kindergarten is subsidized by over $2 million in at-risk funding. The at-risk funding is being cut. So dramatic. And I want to say the number is about $160 to $180 per kid in the at-risk funding. That's a hidden cut that's not being talked about. Additional, there are reductions to the title funds, the Title I, Title II funds, which come in to support some of the programs for our most fragile kids. That's being cut. So when you add these cuts together, it exceeds $800. That's not being talked about in the big picture. We're simply talking about the front, easy-to-read cut. So when you look at the most fragile populations across the state, and we look at this from a state view, how are we going to care for the citizens of Michigan? That disproportional cut is understood by those students who stood on the steps of the Capitol on Friday.
Jerry, are we being lied to?
We're just not being told the whole thing, Tony. And I think there would be great exception taken if one suggested they were intentionally deceiving the public. They're just telling part of the story. And it's okay that the voting populace doesn't know the rest of the story. By the way, the voting populace, which is 25% who elected the current legislators and governors, 25% of our eligible voting populace participated and supported the current regime that's in office. That needs to change. A one-house rule leads to these sorts of actions, an arrogance of a single party to suggest that they were elected in by the populace is misrepresentative of the fact. It's 21 to 26% of the populace voted in the current legislature, the current executive branch, and the Supreme Court. And the students on the steps Friday were sending the message. In 2 years, many of us are going to be voting. So we're paying attention at the young age of 16, 17, and we're going to vote. So pay attention, legislature. We're going to vote.
Jerry, are you retiring in June?
Well, Tony, I think there will be an official retirement, but as you know, my heart and soul is to the kids, to our community, and I suspect I'll be around in some capacity, continuing support and services to our greater Lansing community. But I will officially be retiring from the Lansing School District in June.
What will you do professionally? I know that you'll be helping in many capacities unofficially. Professionally, what will you be doing after June?
I'm still working on developing a plan for that.
Well, I got a job for you. You're a smart guy. We'll find something for you to do.
I appreciate that, Tony. And I appreciate the listening audience who pays attention to a man who takes multiple perspectives on the issues. Thanks for getting me on the air.